That wasn't recorded, was it?
No.
Just not.
Parshas Kisisa begins with the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel. There's the Mishnah in Masechet Shkolim says that only men have the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel, of giving half a shekel every year. Women are patur from that mitzvah. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah says that the reason why women are patur is because the Machtzis HaShekel is connected with the counting. Right? It says, Kol Ha'ivra Lapakudim. And whoever is not included in the count should not be included in the mitzvah, and that's why women are pater. Now, if women are pater from Machzah Shekel, which, now, Machzah Shekel is a mitzvah that's not negeya bizman hazeh, it's only nehig bizman shebeis mikdash kayim, it doesn't seem like it should have any major significance for us. But there's a line in a tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and I say a line, this is not what the tshuva was about, but he sort of throws it in Agav Orcha. He says that if women are pater from the Machzah Shekel, then he thinks they should be pater from davening musaf, because the tefillas musaf is connected the korban musaf, and the korban musaf came from the machzah shekel. And if women didn't contribute to the machzah shekel, that means that they weren't included in the mitzvah of the korban musaf. So they should be pater from davening musaf. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger says. Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that, you know, it's not really what the tshuva was about. The tshuva, it's very interesting. It's Simon Tess in the Shailas HaTshuva is a fascinating shaila. Somebody sent him a shaila that, you know, it costs a lot of money to be a from yid. There's so many mitzvahs you have to do. You have to buy mezuzahs and tefillin. You have to buy lulav and build a sukkah and matzah. Yeah, sure, matzah is a big one. And if you don't have enough money for everything, so how do you prioritize? Which mitzvahs take kedima over other mitzvahs? And so in the course of that tshuva, he discusses a lot of different mitzvahs. It's a fascinating tshuva. There's a lot of interesting things there. B'seich HaDvarim, he says, if you're weighing between tefillin and mezuzah, so the most cool reason would be probably that tefillin have priority, but maybe someone would raise the argument that mezuzah has priority over tefillin because it's a mitzvah that's shavu b'koil. All yidin are chayim in the mitzvah of mezuzah. Tefillin, only 50% of the population. The men are chayev and the women are not. That's called Einei Shava B'Koil. We find in the Maseches Yevamos, in the Gemara about Aseidei Chalaisase, that sometimes there's a mitzvah that's considered more prominent if it's Shava B'Koil. So maybe when it comes to Kedima in mitzvahs, we should give more prominence to mezuzah over tefillin because it's Shava B'Koil. So Rabbi Akiva is coming to reject that idea. He says, no, I'll prove to you that this Maila of Shavu B'Koil doesn't really count when it comes to Kedima and Mitzvahs, because there's a Gemara in Brachas that considers, that asks a Shaila, which comes first, if you could daven Musaf or daven Mincha, which one should you daven first? And the Gemara over there says that Mincha has priority over Musaf because Tadu V'Shein and Tadu Kaidim. But what about the fact that Mincha is Shavu B'Koil and Musaf, and here's where he says it. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, and Musaf presumably is not Shavu B'Koil because women should be part of a Musaf because they don't give a Machzah Shekel. So you'd think that it's Einei Shavu B'Koil. Why didn't the Gemara mention that? I see from here that Einei Shavu B'Koil is not a relevant factor when it comes to Kedima and Mitzvahs.
The ultimate Agav.
It really is, right. Yeah. It's very much Agav Urcha. But in that context, he throws out this idea that he says, I think women should be part of from davening Musaf because they don't contribute to the Machzah Shekel. Now,
circus.
Now, you might ask that the musaf we're saying they should be putter from because it's connected the tefillas musaf, because it's connected the carbon musaf. Weren't all the tefillas like that?
Yeah.
The tefillas the Gemara says were connected to midim tiknum. And the carbon tumit also came from the Machzah Shekel. So why are we picking on Musaf? But the answer is that even though the Gemara says that the tefillahs are connected to medium tiknum, but that's not the purpose of the tefillahs. The tefillahs, like the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara in Brachas Avchav, rachamin inhu. The tefillahs are for rachamim. In other words, they're vitally important. You need all the things that you need. You get through your tefillah. So we daven for das and for tshuva and for slicha and for geula and for refuah and for parnasa and for kibbutz goliyos. All of these things are essential. Whether there's a carbon tamid or there's not a carbon tamid. When the Gemara says tefillah is connected to midim tiknum, it means the zmani tefillah, that which it's once in the morning and then again in the afternoon, that corresponds to the carbon tamid. But the idea that we daven because we need the tefillah. It's rachamin inhu, therefore a rachamim. But musaf is not like that. The tefillas musaf is not about rachamim. It's just reviewing the korban. It's to stand in place of the carbon. We can't bring the carbon itself, so we say the tefillah instead of the carbon. But it's really just to replace the carbon. So such a tefillah, Zechter B'Kivei Eger, you should be pater from if you're pater from the carbon. And since Nashim don't contribute to the Machzor HaShakel, that should make them pater from Tefillas Musaf. Now, many Achrayim reacted to this line in Rabbi Akiva Eger's tshuva, and they said that they didn't think that the correlation stands. Because, you know, he's suggesting it for Nashim, he wants to say that maybe Nashim are pater from Tefillas Musaf. Okay. That's not such a revolutionary idea, especially considering that things were not always the way they are nowadays, that all women, you know, are educated and many women like to go to shul. Back in the day, most women didn't learn to read Hebrew. So the tefillah for women was very, very limited. So probably most women didn't daven musaf anyway, regardless of whether the din was that they were patur, the din was that they were chayef. I mean, officially, they're chayev and shachras and mincha, but through the Darius, the Magen Avraham says that through the Darius, even though there's really no getting around, that there's a Mishnah, it's brought down in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and it's, the halach is clear that women are chayev and tefillah, more or less the same as men are, and they should be davening shachras and mincha, but through the Darius, most of them didn't. So for whatever the justification, but Lamaisa, they didn't. So this question of whether they're chayev or they're patur and tefillah as musaf was largely academic. But women are not necessarily the only people that are pater from Machzor HaShakel. If you're going to go and say that whoever's pater from Machzor HaShakel should be pater from Tefillas Musaf, there's an opinion in the Mishnah that Kehanim are pater from the Machzor HaShakel. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, about whether Kehanim are pater from Machzor HaShakel. So the Achrayim, Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector, among others, they ask on Rabbi Akiva Eger, if you're right, that because Nashim are part of a Machzor HaShakel, they're part of a Tefillas Musaf, then it should come out also that, according to the Mount Amr, that Kehanim are part of a Machzor HaShakel, Kehanim should be part of a Tefillas Musaf? Now that would be quite an extraordinary chiddush, that we certainly don't, you know, Kehanim come to shul with the rest of us, they dive in the same way as everybody else. To suggest that they might be part of a Tefillas Musaf is an earth-shattering chiddush, and we never heard of such a thing. Now, it's not really a kasha lahalacha because we probably don't paskin like that. Manda Amar, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkolim, the Rambam says that Hakol Chayav Machzor HaShakel Echad Kehanim Echad Levim Echad Yisraelim. So he paskins clearly that Kehanim are Chayav Machzor HaShakel. But even though he's clear about it in the Yad HaChazaka, but it's not so clear. It seems that it's not such a devar pashut that we should paskin that way, because a number of Achareinim point out the Rambam in the Pirush of Mishnayis seems to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Manda Amar, the Kehanim are pater. The Rambam in the Pirush of Mishnayis, Masechta Shkolim, he sounds like he paskins that way. It's not so explicit, but that's the way most people read it. And the Pirush of Mishnayis was written when he was younger. That was the first published sefer of the Rambam, was the Pirush of Mishnayis. And then after that, he wrote the Yad HaChazaka. So it would seem that maybe he changed his mind between one and the other.
How is it not clear? I mean, if he brings a Buddha up and he says, who is the Halacha? Like,
right, because if he says Halacha Kira Rabbi Yehuda, then it would be clear. He doesn't say that. And the truth is that the whole Machlokes is very complicated, because there's different tanaim in the Mishnah that one uses an expression that if he is shekel, then he's not a chayte, and the other one says if he's not shekel, then he is a chayte. So it's not really such a clear-cut, straightforward machlaikis. And the Rambam doesn't pass him like a tana by name. It's more the way he brings down the halacha seems to most readers to sound like he's passing like the Manda Amar that Kehanim are pater.
What would be the reason for Yehuda? Because you could be Mechal.
Yeah.
Kohanim.
Yeah,
why would they be Pater?
So it's a...
Maybe because they're doing
the
Avodah. But by Musaf,
okay,
they're not doing
the
Avodah
anymore.
Okay, maybe. By Musaf... I mean, nowadays, there's no
Avodah
anymore. There's no
Beis HaMikdash. But there is Birkos Kohanim in Musaf. Yeah, so but there's no Kamath Shekel now there either.
I'm saying maybe by the Beis HaMikdash, they were doing the Avodah, so they don't have to donate to it.
Yeah, so that wouldn't that be true for the Musaf also?
There is no Musaf, so they also have to be part of it.
I hear one of the possibilities is, it's interesting in Rav Asher Weiss, who has a piece about this in Parshas Kisisa, he has an interesting connection. He wants to say, I mentioned at the beginning this year that the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the reason why Nashim are Pater is because since the Machzeh Shekel, at least once upon a time, was used for the purpose of counting the Jewish people, Kol HaYibra Al-Pakudim, and Nashim are not Bechal the minion, so they also shouldn't be Bechal the mitzvah. If that, according to that reason, it would make sense to Pater Kahanim also. And that could be an answer to your question, why might the Kahanim be Pater? And then, so he said that, you know, you have Rambams in a variety of different Svarim, it would mean that what he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the reason why Nashim are Pater is because Kol She'ini B'chal Minyan Ini B'chal Mitzvah, stems with what he wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvah, in the Pirush HaMishnayis, in other words, in his younger writings, but that Kahanim are also Pater. But it wouldn't stem with what he said in his later writings, in the Arach HaZakah, the Kahanim are Chayev, which means, so he's suggesting that then, according to the Rambam's later writings, you'd have to come up with a different reason why Nashim are Pater. It's not because Misha Ini B'chal HaMinyan Ini B'chal HaMitzvah. You could say that possibly because the mitzvah says she has man grum, and there is such an idea that's mentioned. The Meiri says that on that Mishnah in Shkalim. Others argue against it that it's not a mitzvah says she has man grum. Some of the Mefarshei Mishnah say that maybe there's a drasha. So there's a variety of other possibilities, but Al Kapanim would sound like Rav Asher Weiss is saying that the Rambam, he gave a reason in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but he wanted to say that that reason was based on a theory that the Rambam held up when he was younger, and he would have to have been chayzer from it when he was older. It's an interesting idea.
Men under the age of 20 should also be part of, because they weren't part of the...
Excellent. So this is another Machlekes Rishayim. There's the Sefer HaChinuch says that the mitzvah of Machzeh Shekel only begins from the age of 20, because again, that's when That was the count. The count was only from 20-year-olds. The Rambam doesn't pass like that. The Rambam paskins in the Mishnah Torah that he doesn't say the age, but he says Ketanim are Pater. So presumably that means that the cutoff was 13, that you chayef from when you're 13. But the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's from the age of 20. The Ramah, now you don't expect there to be a Ramah about this. Ramah is in Shulchan Aruch. Machzeh Shekel is not Neigman Zman Hazeh. But there is a Zeichel Machzeh Shekel that we give on Erev Purim, right? There's a minute on Erev Purim to give tzedakah, we call it Zeichel Machzeh Shekel, we take three coins, and the Ramah says about that minute, this is Ramah in Hilchos Purim, some Tafresh Tzadi Dalid, he says that minute is only for people from the age of 20. Now, that's based on this Sefer HaChinuch, that the mitzvah Machzeh Shekel is only from the age of 20. Incidentally, the Minhag Olam is not like that. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Minhag Olam is, not only do we do Machzeh Shekel for people less than 20, meaning teenagers, we even do Machzeh Shekel for Ketanim. And not only that, there's even a minute to do Machzeh Shekel for an Uber. A pregnant woman does Machzeh Shekel for her unborn child. We get very carried away with the mitzvah of Zeichel Machzeh Shekel, even though there's no tzad in the world that these people, again, Ketanim, Ubrim, that they were chayiv in the real Machzeh Shekel, there isn't. But the Zeichel Machzeh Shekel that we give on Erev Purim has some special kapar kind of a quality, and therefore the minig is that we extend it even to babies. But the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch doesn't say any of that. He says that it starts from the age of 20, which means that he's endorsing the position of the Sefer HaChinuch, that the mitzvah of Machzeh Shekel was only from the age of 20. So now, if you're going to follow Rabbi Kiva Eger's logic, that whoever is part of the mitzvah of Machzeh Shekel should be part of the mitzvah from Tfilas Musaf, it would mean that all teenagers are part of it. It would mean that a bar mitzvah bachar can't daven for the Omud by Tfilas Musaf, because the Bar Mitzvah Bachar is, you know, yeah, that's a very popular minhag to have the Bar Mitzvah Bachar daven Musaf. But if he's punter from Musaf, he can't be Maitzias a Rabbi B'Yechev Asam. So that would already be a earth-shattering chiddush. So that's all part of the challenge against Rabbi Kiva Eger. If you are right, so what about Kahanim? What about you know, the Bar Mitzvah Bachar that's younger than 20? But again, but each of these kashas, they're kashas, but they're not really... They don't really pack a solid punch, because we don't pass like any of those. Again, I mean, at least the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam paskins the Kahanim Archaiv, the Rambam in the Arach HaZakah. He paskins that Kahanim Archaiv. He paskins that Bar Mitzvah Bachar, you know, from the age of 13 is Chayev in Machzeh Shekel. So all of these kashas, they're really just kashas that, well, if you're right, Rabbi Kiva Eger, then there should be a man d'amar that these people are part of from Tfilas Musaf. Okay, maybe there is such a man d'amar. How come you never heard of it? Because we don't pass him like that. So they're not such a stark akasha. In the Sefer Amudei Or, one of the, it's a Paisek from the 1800s, he's one of, I said, a lot of Achronim gang up on this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He's one of the people that asked this kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He tries to up the pressure a little bit. He says, it's not just we never heard of, I'll bring you a raya. He says, I'll bring you a raya that even Kahanim are chayav in Tefilas Musaf. That's a raya. Meaning, beyond just that, we never heard anyone suggest that they should be patur.
An affirmative raya.
Right, an affirmative raya. He says, it's very geshmak hashtekli. He puts together three marmakaymites. He says, first of all, when the Mishnayos and Shkolim talk about Kehanim, what about Levim? Are Levim in the same category as Kehanim? Tosfos and Menachos says Levim are in the same category as Kehanim. Not everyone holds that way. There may be positions to the contrary, but Tosfos and Menachos, Tapchaf Alpha and Beis, says that Levim are the same as Kehanim. Did you ever find a Levi davening Tefilas Musaf? So, he says that there's a Mishnah Maaseh Sheni that one time Rabbi Gamliel was on a boat and he needed to be mafresh Shuman and Maaseh to be mat to the food that was there, but he didn't have, or to be matir, excuse me, I think for his family back home. So he said that the Maaseh that I'm going to be mafresh should be given to my friend Rabbi Yeshua. As while they were still friends, I guess, should be given to Rabbi Yeshua, because, and he says that the Chumas Meiser will be given to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because he was a Kayin. The Meiser Ani will be given to Rabbi Akiva, because he was the Gabbai Tzedakah. But the Meiser Rishon was given to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, what's the significance of that? That means I just identified Rabbi Yeshua as a Levi. The town of Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. Okay, so that's two, right? We start with the Tosfos Menachos that whoever patters Kehanim from Achzah Shekel also patters Levim. A Mishnah Meiser Sheni that Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. And now there's a Gemara Maseches Sukkah. The climax of the Shekel. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah is talking about how much fun it was in the Beis HaMikdash during Sukkot. Simchas Beis Shereva, they were partying all night. Rabbi Shimon Chananya. During Chol HaMoed Sukkos, we mamish never went to sleep. All night long, we were singing and dancing in the Simchas Beis Shereva. And then, as soon as it got light, so we rushed, we watched them bring the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar. And from there, we went to the Tefilas Shachar. And then we went and we watched the Korban Musaf. And from there, it was the Tefilas Musaf. And then after that, it was ready time for Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. And then they were starting again the music again for the next night, Simchas Beis Shereva. And we went from night to night. I left out an important step. After the Musaf, I think he says, from there we went to the Beis HaMedrash. Says then in the Braisa, we went to the Beis HaMedrash, doesn't say for how long, but we spent some time in the Beis HaMedrash, then to the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim, and then back to the Simchas Beis Shereva, and we did this day after day. The whole Sukkot was like that. That's the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Chananya describing how geshmak it was on Sukkot. But look, one of the things that he says he did is, he after the Korban Musaf, he went and he davened Musaf. It says he davened Musaf. Rabbi Shimon Chananya was a Levi. Levim were part of a Machzah Shekel. So I have a mamish from Furish Araya, not just the negative raya that I never heard someone say that he should be patur, but I actually have a raya that Levim Davin Musaf.
Here's a Levi with Davin Musaf.
Here's a Levi with Davin Musaf, right? Rabbi Shimon Chananya. And then he adds one line, the Amudei Or. He says, don't tell me that tefillah Rabbi Shimon Chananya was davening was just a tefillah for shus. Maybe Levim Kivager is right that they're patur, but he voluntarily, it was tefillah for shus. He says, but no, but don't you know there's a riff in Brachas that says that Shachris Mincha Marav, you could daven a Tefillas Rishus, but Musaf, there's no such thing as a Tefillas Rishus. Since the Korban Musaf couldn't be brought as a Rishus, it couldn't be brought as a Nedava, Nedava is the word I'm looking for, Tefillas Nedava. The riff says that you can't have a Tefillas Nedava for Korban, for Tefillas Musaf. The other Tefillas, yes, but not Tefillas Musaf. Incidentally, this is something that nowadays we don't really practice this. This idea of davening tefillas nedava, right? We daven three times a day, and that's it. But right, the poskim say that it's not really recommended nowadays to go daven extra tefillas because most people have a hard enough time having proper kavana with the tefillas that we daven. So, you know, don't go adding additional ones. The only place where it's really negay, where it comes up sometimes, tefillas nedava, is in certain situations where there's a suffix if somebody was yotze or is not yotze, if somebody is chayev or is not chayev, and the tefillah. So then the recommendation will be that you should have in mind that, you know, you should do that tefillah, and have in mind that if I'm not really chayav, it should be a tefillah nedava. That you sometimes find in Paiskim. But it used to be that it was more alechat chilutik, so, you know, if somebody wanted to daven more, so he davened the tefillah nedava. In that context, the Rif says that you could do that for Shachris, Mincha, Marav, but not for Tefillas Musaf. There's no such thing as a Tefillas Nedava by Musaf. So the Amudiyar says about this Raya they brought from Shubach and Ayinah, don't try to shlug up the Raya by saying it was Tefillas Nedava, because there's no such thing as Tefillas Nedava by Musaf. Now, that last part of the Raya is very important. It's a very important part of this whole discussion. It really changes the whole discussion if he's right. I mean he's saying about Rabbi Shubach and Ayinah, but let's come back to the Nashim. Rabbi Kibager says in a tshuva that Nashim are patur from tefillas musaf. Is he saying that they're not allowed? If a wife wants to come to shul and daven musaf, is Rabbi Kibager saying that she's not allowed because she's patur from she's patur from achas hashachar, she's patur from tefillas musaf, and you can't daven tefillas musaf as a nedava? The way Rabbi Shimon Chananya, the way the Amudei Ar brings this whole shugal Torah from Rabbi Shimon Chananya, it would come out that he thought that according to Rabbi Kibager, Nashim are not allowed to daven tefillas musaf. And I think it's very hard to believe that that's what Rabbi Kibager meant. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, Rabbi Kibager writes this very much kala achar yad, agav urcha. You know, he wasn't really coming to discuss this. Mm-hmm. If this is what he means, this is a very, very important shayla. Are Nashim allowed? Do we have to lock the Ezas Nashim, not let them in? That was certainly never the minhag ha'olam. And you don't get the impression from this Shuvah Rabbi Kibager that he meant to be saying anything all that relevant. Like I said before, it wasn't really such an important matter. Are they chayav or they're not chayav? But if he's suggesting that it's us, or that would make it obviously very important. The Mishnah Berurah even brings, he brings down this discussion that some achrayim hold that they're patur from musaf, some achrayim hold that they're chayav in musaf. And it seems like he doesn't really feel such a big need to be machriya. You know, if she can, she'll daven. If she can't, she won't daven. What's the difference if they are chayav or they're not chayav? Obviously, he didn't think that we're discussing, is it usur? So why not? Right? The Amudi Ar says that if you're patur, then it's usur, because the Rif says that there's no such thing as a tefillas nedava by Musaf. Mm-hmm. So I think, Lani Asdati, that Rif is not really negeya to this discussion. The Rif, when he says there's no tefillas nedava by Musaf, he's talking about somebody who's chayiv in tefillas Musaf, he daven tefillas Musaf, and now he wants to daven another tefillas Musaf. So a second tefillas musaf, the Rif says, imagine if they were in the Beis HaMikdash and they brought the tefillas musaf, they brought the carbon musaf, and then someone said, let's bring another one, just as a nedava. So the halacha is not allowed to do that, right? A carbon sibur can't be brought as a nedava, so that would be an iser. You can't bring a second carbon musaf. So in your tefillas musaf, which is supposed to be like a reenactment of the carbon musaf, so if you already davened once, and now you want to daven again just as a nedava, so basically you're saying, I want to make a reenactment of a carbon that it would be an avera to bring. So the Rif says, you can't make a reenactment of an avera. We only make reenactments of mitzvahs, not averas. So that's when we're talking about a tefillas nedava in the sense of a second tefillas musaf. But when we're discussing somebody who's putter from musaf but davening anyway, that's not a second carbon musaf. That just means that the carbon musaf that they're bringing in the Beis HaMikdash, I want to have a chelek in it also. Now, on the tzad that you're putter, so you really don't have to have a chelek, and maybe even you can't have a chelek. So maybe even when you say, I want to have a chelek also, maybe it's dvarim b'telem, but it can't be an iser. It's somebody that just wants to take a share in the chelek, in the carbon musaf that they're bringing, when they're not really supposed to have a share. That's not a question of an avera. A second carbon musaf, that's a question of an avera. So when the Rif says that there's no such thing as a tefillas nedava by musaf, he means someone who's chayiv in musaf, and he wants to daven an additional musaf. On that, he's saying there's no such thing as a tefillas nedava by musaf. But somebody who's patur from musaf, but wants to daven anyway as an nedava, I think that wouldn't go into this Rif. And therefore, Rabbi Kibager never meant this dramatic chiddush that nashim should be usher to daven. He was just saying they're patur from davening, but if they want to daven, they could daven. This is not a violation of that Rif that there's no tefillas nedava by musaf. And if that's true, so then the Amudei Ar is very impressive, Shtekel Torah, pulling together all those Ma'ar Makoimais to bring an affirmative Raya, it falls apart. Because all you see is that a Levi davened Tfilas Musaf, but that doesn't mean he was chayef to daven Tfilas Musaf, maybe he was davening it as an Adava. Because like we're saying, even though the Rif says no Tfilas Adava per Karma Musaf, that means someone who's chayef and wants to daven a second one. But somebody who's Pater from Musaf and wants to daven as an Adava, that should be allowed. So maybe B'Shechim Mechananya was davening a voluntary tefillas nedava of a musaf. So the Amudei Or's extra oomph to the Kasha, I think, falls short. But that being said, the Kasha, you could still ask the Kasha the way we asked it before, that there's a man de Omar that Kehanim and Levim are potter from Machzis HaShekel. There's a man de Omar that a Ben Yud Gimel until the age of 20 is potter from Machzis HaShekel. And if Rabbi Kivager is right, then it would come out that at least according to those man de Omrim, those people should be potter from Tefillas Musaf, and that's hard to believe. So the consensus of the Achrayim is that they disagree with this Rabbi Kivager. There is a stipler who tries to defend Rabbi Kivager, but I would say that even the stipler, in his defense of him, I'm not going to say over his teretz, but what he ends up doing is saying that Rabbi Kivager himself didn't really mean what it sounds like he means. He really was relying on a different svara, but essentially there's a consensus among most Achrayim that it's not true to say that just because someone is potter from Machzis HaShekel, that makes him potter from Tefillas Musaf. Like the Rabbi Yitzchok Chanon, the Amudei Or, and even the stipler saying B'das Rabbi Kivager, that it's at least theoretically possible to be potter from Machzis HaShekel and yet still be chayev in the Korban Musaf. Meaning we're decoupling these two. The simple reading of the Tshuva of Rabbi Kivager sounds like he thinks that the two of them are correlated, and we're saying that no, they shouldn't be correlated. The question is that, okay, if that's the case, again, Rabbi Yitzchok Chanon and others, and the stipler, they feel that you can't make a correlation that whoever's potter from Machzis HaShekel should be potter from Korban Musaf. But what was wrong with the logic? Rabbi Kivager sounded like he was saying something very mistaber, that the Korban Musaf came from the Shkalim. So if someone was potter from the Shkalim, that means he didn't have a chelik in the Korban Musaf. So then he should be potter from, he's not, mm-hmm. If he doesn't have shaychus to that mitzvah, why should he have this tefillah? So the truth is, this gets to a very fundamental, basic question about the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. And there's a wonderful diuk that cuts straight to the crux of this chakira. The Rambam's Hilchas Shkalim is found in Sefer Zmanim. What do I mean, Sefer Zmanim? The Rambam wrote a sefer called Mishneh Torah, which is a 14-part work. That's why it has another name. It's called the Mishneh Torah. It's also called the Yad HaChazaka, Yad Yud Dalet, because it has 14 parts. The Rambam took Kol Torah Kula, or as he describes it, Torah Shebal Peh Kula, everything the Chazal gave us in Torah Shebal Peh, and he put it all into his computer, and then he divided it up into 14 different sections, and that's called his Sefer Mishneh Torah. And he gave each of the 14 svarim a name, and then each of those svarim is subdivided into separate sections, and then, right, so the Lamashal will have a sefer like Zmanim, which will have Hilchas Shabbos, and Hilchas Yom Tov, and Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah. Right, you'll have a sefer called Sefer Hamada, which is the first one, which has Hilchas Yisrael Torah, and Hilchas Deyos, Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Hilchas Talmud Torah, Hilchas Tshuva. And then, you know, Sefer Tara, which has all the topics in Tumim V'Tara, right? And Sefer Zrayim, which is all the topics that you're familiar with from Seder Zrayim, right? Hafla, Nashim, Sefer Nashim. So there's 14 of these Svarim. One of them is called Sefer Zmanim. Mm-hmm. It has Shabbos, it has Yom Tov, it has Erevin, Hilchas Shvisas Asar, Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah, Hilchas Shofar, Lulav, Sukkah, mm-hmm. and then Hilchas Shkalim. So Hilchas Shkalim is in Sefer Zmanim. Now the Shkalim was the funds that were raised for the Tamidim and Musafim. And they used this money to buy the Karbanos. One might argue it really belongs more in Sefer Avodah, where he talks about the Karbanos Tzivor. Why does the Rambam put it in Sefer Zmanim? Now, it's not really, you might say, why am I picking on the Rambam? We find this already in the Mishnayos, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he divided the Torah not into 14 parts, but into 6 parts. Mm-hmm. But he also had a Seder Moyed and a Seder Kachim. And look, Shkalim, Masechet Shkalim, is in Seder Moyed. So that's true. The Ha'ara is already there in the Mishnayos. But I think it's kedai to point out that the Rambam was much more particular about this than Rabbeinu HaKadosh was. I'll give you a couple of examples. And if people that learned Daf Yomi will have an appreciation for this. Maseches Yuma, it's 8 parakim long. The part that we recognize as being Hilchas Yom Kippur is just the 8th parak. The first 7 parakim are all about the avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, in Shas, it's one Masechta. It's a Maseches Yuma, and it comes in Seder Mayed. Where does the Rambam have it? There's two separate sections. There's a section in Sefer Zmanim called Hilchas Shvisas Asar, Asar meaning Ba'asar L'Chaydish, the 10th of the month. The Shvis is what we're Shavis from, and over there he talks about the Chamisha Inuyim, the things that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. There's another section in the Rambam called Hilchas Avoidas Yom Kippurim, which is in Sefer Avoida. He took Maseches Yuma and he said, but it's not all Mayed, it's in Seder Mayed, but it's not all Mayed Dikinyanim, and he divided it up. And there's another Masechta, Maseches Pesachim, which Maseches Pesachim also has tons of Kachim in it. The first five Prakim are about Chametz Matzah. The 10th Perek is about the Seder, but the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th Prakim are all about the Karban Pesach. So in the Rambam, you have a section called Hilchot Chametz Matzah, which is in Sefer Zmanim, and there's a separate section called Hilchot Karban Pesach, which is in Sefer Karbonos. There's two Svarim in the Rambam that correspond to Seder Kachim. The Sefer Avoida and Sefer Karbonos. Two different Svarim. Hilchas Yom Kippurim, that's in Sefer Avoida. Hilchas Karban Pesach, that's in Sefer Karbonos.
Now the Shkolim is Negei to Maid. There is no Shkolim there, but it's only Negei to
How is it Negei to Maid? You mean to
Purim?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a later minhag. The Rambam didn't even have that minhag. The Rambam doesn't bring that down. No, that's just a minhag. So the Rambam really was very particular. Just because something came in Seder Mayid, he didn't necessarily put it in Sefer Zmanim. But Hilchos Shkolim comes in Sefer Zmanim. And so a number of Acharonim, Rav Tzal Zsolti is one of those that makes this Ha'ara. He says, what I see from this Rambam, again, it's a diuk, not from the words of the Rambam, just from the placement, of the Rambam. I see that the mitzvah Machzeh Shekel was not be'ikr, a mitzvah of raising funds for the karbonis. It wasn't a karbonistic mitzvah. You know what it really was, be'ikr? It's a mitzvah tzedakah. It's a mitzvah that once a year, in Adar, right, before Nisan, once a year, there's a collection and everyone has to contribute. Okay, so, you know, there's like some old fundraising jokes, you know, if you have a collection, so you need a maesed, right? So if you're collecting money, so what does the money go for? So the Torah said this money should be used for the karbonis. But it's not the pshat that the money was raised because we needed karbonis. The money was raised because the Eibishter wanted that people should give away some money. That you shouldn't keep all your money for yourself, you have to give away some money. So then there's a fund, there's a money. So and we needed money because there were karbonis. So the Eibishter said, so let that money be used for those karbonis. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, a great smuchim to this. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra daf tes that you'll never hear said over in shul. Okay, this is, Rabbanim want to keep it. I mean, if you learn daf yoyim, you see it. But Rabbanim never let their balabatim see this Gemara if they can help it. The Gemara says that the shear for tzedakah is a shlishis ha-shekel l'shana. The shlishis ha-shekel is a very small amount of money. And if you know, there's a mitzvah say in the Torah to give tzedakah. What's the shear? There's a mitzvah say in the Torah to eat matzah. If I eat a little bit of matzah, was I yaitzeh? Was I not? So there's a shear. You have to eat a kezayis. If you ate a kezayis, you yaitzeh. Less than a kezayis, you're not yaitzeh. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, pasoyach tiftach. You have to open your hand and give money to the ani. How much do you have to give to be yaitzeh dechevasa that we could say you weren't mevatel liyaseh? The Gemara says it's a shear of a shlishis hashekel l'shana for the year. The Gemara learns it from Pesukim in Ksuvim, I think a Pesuk in Nehemiah. The Ritva on that Gemara over there says, though, that it's not, in the Veltarain. This is based on the Machzeh HaShekel. Now, why is it Shlish HaShekel? Sheisifu al Amidais. The currency changed between the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and the times of Nehemiah. The currency changed, but this Shlish HaShekel... The value of the Shekel went up. Exactly, right. But this Shlish HaShekel... That's the old Machzeh HaShekel. And that's why that's the minimum shear of how much tzedakah you have to give. Because that's what the Torah said, that's how much tzedakah you have to give. And the She'iltis, the footnotes over there on the Ritva, again, the Ritva says this on the Gemara in Bava Basra, Bava Basra Daf Tes. And in the footnotes they bring down that the She'iltis, they refer you to the She'iltis. If you open up to the She'iltis on Parashat Kisisa, the She'iltis is a sefer from a long, long time ago, from the beginning of the Tufas HaGa'inim. And it's a sefer where he discusses different mitzvahs, and it's arranged, I'll say, about parashiyos. It's not like a sefer mitzvah. He doesn't go through the 613 mitzvahs. It's more like he had to speak every Shabbos. So on each parsha, there's a two or three shiltais, two or three discussions about various mitzvahs. The mitzvah on Parshas Kisisa, apropos the mitzvah Machzah Shekel, that's where the Shilta has a whole discussion about tzedakah. And all the nice gemaras about how chashuv it is to give tzedakah and to help poor people, he brings down in Parshas Kisisa in the Shilta of Machzah Shekel. It sounds like he understood that, and that's like this ritva in the Gemara of Abastra, that the mitzvah of Machzah Shekel is really primarily a mitzvah tzedakah. That's where it starts from. Now, as a mitzvah tzedakah, maybe it could have come in, you know, in other places in the Rambam, but it's a mitzvah tzedakah that is supposed to be given at a certain time of year, before Nisan. Before Nisan, there's a time-related mitzvah that everyone has to give their machzah shekel. So that's why it's in Sefer Zmanim, because it's done at the beginning of in Adar, right before Nisan. But it's not in Kachim, because that's not what it was for. In fact, if you look in the Rambam's Hilchas Shkalim, it's four prakim long. So the first parak is about who's chayev to give the machzah shekel, and then he talks about, you know, how it was collected and what kind of a coin it was. And then in parak Dalid, the fourth and final parak, he says, and this money, what was it used for? And then he says it was used for the Tamidim and for the Musafim and the other Tzrachim of Hekdesh. If the mitzvah was raise money for the Tamidim and Musafim, so he would have started with that. It sounds like, no, the mitzvah was really a mitzvah tzedakah, a mitzvah to raise money. And then, you know, the sort of as an afterthought, it was applied to the Tamidim and Musafim. It's interesting, one of the Moinei HaMitzvahs, there's a lot of different Rishonim that gave lists of 613 mitzvahs, and for the most part, you know, no two are the same. There's, not Mamash no two, but there's a lot of different versions of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam, we mentioned that the Rambam counts Machzah Shekel in his Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Yireim is one of the Moinei HaMitzvahs. He was, what's unusual about the Yireim is that he was German. He was not too many Ashkenazim wrote Minyan HaMitzvahs, but the Yireim did. And in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, he leaves out Machzah Shekel. He doesn't count it. So other Mefarshim, you know, the people that write about the Minyan HaMitzvahs, they point this out and say, it's strange. How come, you know, all the Rambam counted it, the Sefer HaChinuch counted it, the Bahag counted it. Why did he leave it out? The reason why he left it out is because he felt this is not a mitzvah, this is just a Hechsher mitzvah. It's just raising money for the Tamidim HaMusafim. There's a mitzvah to bring a carbon tamid. You can't bring the carbon if you don't have money for it. Just like there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin. Now, in order to have tefillin, you have to buy tefillin. In order to buy tefillin, you have to get some money. But that's not a mitzvah. Let's talk about the buying. We don't say one of the mitzvahs is to buy tefillin. There's a mitzvah putting on tefillin, and of course you're going to have to buy it. So there's a mitzvah to bring a carbon tumid every day. Now, animals aren't free, so obviously you didn't have to raise money. So the Torah said everyone should give a machzah shekel. But it's just a hechsher for the tamidim u'musafim. That's why the Yireim left it out. That is what we're coming lafuki from. The Rambam, who didn't leave it out, he counted it as an independent mitzvah. And he didn't put the halachas in Sefer Avodah, he put the halachas in Sefer Zmanim, because he held it's not really a kachem dika mitzvah. It's a separate independent mitzvah. And that helps explain why it's not connected, not correlated with tefillas musaf. Who's chayiv in the tefillah and who gives the machzah shekel aren't really so related to each other, because machzah shekel is an independent mitzvah that just happens to be that we use it then for the carbon tamid and for the carbon musaf. So this
ma'aser is not considered tzedakah.
Sure,
ma'aser is considered. You have to give a tenth.
That's true. That's not a din d'oraisa. That bepashtus is not a din d'oraisa. And what it is, even it's not clear if it's even more than an old minhag. Halacha lemais is brought down to Shulchan Aruch. It is brought down to Shulchan Aruch. But this, and there's also exceptions to that. There's you're making a good point. Really, it's for a discussion for another time. There's different levels really within shiur and for tzedakah. There's the bare minimum, and then there's what you're saying is really the lechatchila shiur. But there's also, that's the one that Rabban tell you about. Right. But there's, did you ever hear about the Chaimesh?
Yeah, that's.
Oh, okay. No, it's really true. I mean, that it is a mitzvah to give a Chaimesh. A person, if he's able to give more than a tenth, he should give a tenth, up to a Chaimesh. So there's a lot of shiurim. But this is negayet in Shulchan Aruch. It's written in the context of somebody who mamish can't afford to give any tzedakah. But even so, you know, matzah you buy for Pesach, so yeah, because you want to, you don't, you're not going to be mivatel to the mitzvah, so a shlish is a shekel l'shana, you have to give of tzedakah. It's that it's meant even for somebody that can't afford any tzedakah, but he can't give less than a shlish is a shekel l'shana. Now, I want to bring in one other sort of related in. We were talking about machzah shekel, and the idea that there's a machlekes tanoim about the kohanim and levim, whether they were chayiv or not. And Pini, you were asking before, what's the tzad? What's the svara why maybe kohanim should be pater? So I mentioned before one possible svara, mishi inu b'chal haminyan, inu b'chal mitzvah. But there's another svara, which is mentioned in a Rambam. This is in a hard to find place, but a number of achrayim connected to this discussion of machzah shekel. It's a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, but not in the Pirush Mishnayos in Shkalim. It's elsewhere in the Pirush Mishnayos, and this requires a little bit of background. A very, very fascinating Rambam. One of the most controversial things the Rambam ever said, and he said so himself. He says that, he writes, this is in his Pirush on Mishnayos, in the middle of the fourth parak of Masechet Avos, he says, I'm about to put my foot in my mouth. I know I shouldn't do this because everyone's going to be angry at me, but I have to tell you what I think. The Rambam said that he is of the opinion that no one is allowed to take money for Torah under any circumstances, for Torah learning, for Torah teaching. Rabbanim are not allowed to get paid. The Rambam was very against the idea of there being a salary for a rabbi, for a rebbe, for anyone involved in Torah. It's all supposed to be voluntary. And the Rambam writes, now the Rambam writes this in two places. He writes this in his Pirush Mishnayos, Maseches Avos. He also writes it l'halacha, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He writes it in very strong Lashonis, that anyone that thinks that he's going to learn Torah and take money for it, he's kibba ma'ar hadas, he says he's extinguishing the light of the religion, and he's mechalal es Hashem, and obviously I'm feeling very self-conscious saying this, because, okay, so we should point out that the Rambam,
I didn't believe in the Kohel.
The Rambam, right, definitely. The Rambam says that he's a Das Yachid, and all of the other places can give a resounding yes, that's true, you are a Das Yachid.
There's no world that agrees with
you. Because of this, on the side of the Rambam, he brings down that there's there's a Gemara in Nedarim, which seems to say that, right? There's a lot of raid behind this. Maybe a different time we could have a shir just on this topic. But I'll just mention that the Kesef Mishnah brings down that the Tashbetz has a very long piece where he slugs up a lot of the Rambam's rayas, and he brings rayas to the contrary, and most of the later plates can follow what the Kesef Mishnah quoted B'Shem the Tashbetz, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, in your day in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Shach says that we don't paskin like this Rambam, and that's the consensus. Even the Mishnah Berurah gets into it. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this. He says he actually has an additional chiddush that he says that he thinks that even the Rambam might have agreed nowadays that it's different. Ayin Sham, not for now. But the consensus of most of the Gedalei Rishonim and Acharonim through the Dayreis was that no, it is permitted. Maybe, you know, under some circumstances it has to be with some kind of with some kind of a tnai, but al kapanim there is a basis for it, it's mutter. But the Rambam held its asa. The Rambam was very against it. So the Rambam has this long piece in his Pirush Mishnayos on Avos where he says that you're not allowed to take money for Torah learning. At the end of the piece, he says, but there are some things that are mutter. And this ending is not so well known. I mean, the Shitas HaRambam that the Rambam holds you're not allowed to take money for Torah learning is very well known. And then people a lot of times wonder, because it's also well known, there's a story that the Rambam, with his brother, the Rambam had a brother, David. And David was a wealthy businessman, and he died in a shipwreck in the Indian Ocean. And after that, the Rambam needed to make a living, and that's when he became a doctor. And that story is pretty well known. And the way it's sometimes said over is that Kolzman, that he had this rich brother, so his brother was supporting him. And people are ma'ir that, wait, one second, that's a shtum with the Rambam sheet. The Rambam holds you're not allowed to have somebody support you while you sit and learn Torah. The Rambam says that that's not allowed. It's not what the Rambam did. With the Rambam, yeah, that's maybe a kasha on this Rambam, but Lamais, the Rambam did, held it, the Rambam never brings down. Sachas Wolin, incidentally, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he doesn't bring that down. But the Rambam, at the end of this piece, he writes that You know what is mutar? He says, there are some mamari chazal that talk about the maila of being mahana a talmid chacham. He says, if you read the gemaras carefully, there are a few things that are mutar. So for example, he says, one thing that's mutar is to give business to a talmid chacham, to give him kedima in business. Like if you have to buy a piece of furniture and you can go to one of a few stores and one of the stores is owned by a talmid chacham, there's a mitzvah to go to the talmid chacham store and buy your furniture there. And he brings that in Gemara and Pesachim that talks about Hamatal Meli Lekisay Shel Talmid Chacham. And he explains what that means is to invest his money at a cheaper rate or for free. If you're a good investor and you take money from the Talmid Chacham and you invest his money, he doesn't know what to put it into, but you use your expertise and you invest the money from the Talmid Chacham. So he said, that's mutter. That's one of the things that he says is mutter. Now, that's what the Rambam was doing with his brother. The Rambam, there's a letter where the Rambam talks about his relationship with his brother, and I think if you read carefully, it sounds like that's what was going on. His brother was a professional investor. People gave him money. He would travel around and buy things, you know, in one place and go 1,000 miles away and sell it for much more money, and then, you know, make a big profit. And he took people's money to do that and then would come back and give them their profit, presumably with a, you know, he's taking a cut. He would have a commission. So maybe what his upmach with the Rambam was that the cut was smaller or he did it free of charge. He invested, but the Rambam writes in a letter that he was an investor for other people. So I think it's presumable that that's what he was doing for the Rambam also. That the Rambam gave him money and the Rambam made a parnasa from his brother's investing of his own money. Then the Rambam says, okay, what does this have to do with our shira? Then the Rambam says, so the first thing that's mutter is to give him business or to invest his money. And the other thing that's mutter, this is the Gemara Bava Basra, that you're supposed to help the Talmid Chacham by paying his taxes for him. Talmid Chacham is potter from taxes, and the Rambam says what that means is that the other yidin pay the taxes for him. That he doesn't pay taxes. If the king comes and says that, you know, that from, you know, nowadays there's a personal income tax. In the ancient world, the king, I don't know what he did with his Goyish subjects, but with the Jewish subjects, it was very common. Certainly is what they did in Babel, is certainly what they did in Poland. I can't say in every place, you know, all the time, but what was certainly often done was that the king would come to some leader of the Jewish people and say, okay, from the Jews I want $10 million this year. And you figure out how to divide it up. And then there would be a vad that would meet and decide, okay, you know, this city, this amount of money, this city, a different amount of money. And then within the city, they would go to the different people and say, you know, you should give this much and you give a smaller amount depending on who was who. That's the way that the Jews took care of their taxes. And in that, there's a halacha that the Talmid Chacham was not supposed to contribute to that. And that's the Gemara Bava Basra, the Talmid Chacham was parted from the taxes. And the Rambam says, and that's one of the things, that's one of the ways that, yes, you're allowed to help a Talmid Chacham. You're not allowed to pay him for learning Torah, but you're allowed to pay his taxes for him. And then he adds the line, Ukederech sha'asa ha-Torah with the Machzis HaShekel, that it said that the Kohanim and Leviim don't have to contribute to the Machzis HaShekel. So the Rambam says that just like the Torah says the Kohanim and Leviim are part of a Machzis HaShekel, so in the same way it said that the Chazal said that the Talmid Chacham shouldn't have to pay taxes, that Tzibur should pay taxes for him. So there's a few interesting things in this Rambam. First of all, it's the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis in Maseches Avos, going l'shitasai what he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Maseches Shkalim, but not like his final opinion that he wrote in the Mishnah Torah, because he's going here with the assumption that Kahanim are potter from Machzis HaShekel. Kahanim and Leviim, I think he mentions both. But the Kahanim are potter from Machzis HaShekel. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah paskins the Kahanim are chayiv in Machzis HaShekel. It's a Machalikas Hanayim, and like we saw already, the Rambam seems to have changed his mind. Okay, here in the Pirush HaMishnayis, at least he's internally consistent. But you see something more, and this is Rav Asher Weiss's Ha'ara. I think it's a very Geshmaka Ha'ara. He says that you see, the Rambam is learning, actually, it's not only, take that back, it's not where I saw it. I saw it, Rav Kalbach, or in the Chavetzalas HaSharoin. He makes this Ha'ara, maybe both of them did, I'm not sure. That you see in this Rambam, that which the Kehanim were potter from Machzis HaShekel, it wasn't quite that they were potter. It's that we paid it for them. Meaning, of course, the Kohen needs to give the Machzor Shekel, but he doesn't have to give it himself. We give it for him. Right. And then these Acharonim say, these Svarim say, that that's very relevant to the discussion we were having before. Rabbi Kiveger, you know, those that wanted to compare the Nashim to the Kehanim, meaning, in other words, this is a teretz to the Kashan Rabbi Kiveger, that Nashim, if they're potter, so that means they don't have a chelik in the Karban Musaf. If they don't have a chelik in the Karban Musaf, they should be potter from the Tfilas Musaf. But Kehanim, so they tie it, oh, but Kehanim also, there's a mandama that they're potter. How you talking? Someone's going to say that they don't have to dive in Tfilas Musaf. No, that which they were part of the Machzor Shekel doesn't mean they didn't have a chelik in the Musaf, because we paid it for them. Avad, they needed a Machzor Shekel, they needed a share in the Karban Musaf, but they didn't have to pay it themselves, we paid it for them. So they're part of the Machzor Shekel, but they still had a share in the Karban Musaf. It's not doimed to the Noshim that they were part of, but no one was paying for them, so if they were part of them, they Taka didn't have a share. So this is a teretz to the cash that they had under Kiveger.